JW Mobile. JW Mobile.
KN4VWA. Got a quick question.
Okay.
You picked up your Z-Bender, right?
Rapper. I have no idea. Might have been at Hodges Hobbies down in Americus, Georgia. He had everything.
No. But you took yours with you tonight, right?
Oh, it's right there in my passenger seat. Yep.
Good. I looked in there. I didn't see it, and I thought I'd lost it already. Okay, good deal. Well, I appreciate you, bud, and I had a blast this evening. That is cool.
Yeah, if you're looking for one, it's a Dubro Brothers. They make wheels and stuff like that, too. But that's what kind it is if you're looking for one. It works pretty good. It's not perfect, but it's pretty nice, especially on spring steel.
Fantabulous. All right, well, good enough. Well, I'm packing it up, and I got to get some equipment put away, like a golf cart and a lawnmower and everything else in the book. I will talk to you very soon, and for sure on Tuesday, sir.
Sounds good. I enjoyed it. W4DJW, I'll let you go.
K4VWA, clear.
For DJW, this is Kilo Oscar 4 Oscar Lima Kilo.
Kilo Oscar 4 Oscar Lima Kilo, W4DJW, go ahead.
Hey Dave, this is Steve. I'm playing with my HT here, Bofang, and I'm looking for a Simplex channel on the 70 centimeter band. And I did some research, and I want to know, do we go with the standard band, or is there anything I need to avoid around here?
I think the standard plan is the best, the one that you get on the, so there's two different band plans. There's the one that you get with ARRL publishes one, and then there's somebody else, Yaesu, I think it is, publishes one. But they're pretty close to the same thing. If you just stick to that, you should be fine. The only thing you don't want to interfere with is like where they do slow scan TV on 70 centimeters. Just you don't mess with. I mean, you'll know that because you when you hear that, that's kind of easy to remember. It's just a whole bunch of static in one place. If you hear that, that's probably slow scan TV. But that's the only thing that I know of that you don't want to, you know, transmit on the same frequency they're transmitting on. And they do a lot of that in this area.
Been monitoring 445.950 and heard nothing on it. I'm thinking about selecting that for my handhelds, mobile type stuff. But that sounds good.
Exactly what the limits are. As long as you're within the limits and you're not on a frequency that's in use by something else, you should be fine. Right? I never really paid a whole lot of attention to it because we use it so infrequently. We picked a couple of frequencies, like 44660, I think is one of them that comes to mind that we use quite a bit because it was like a call frequency that anybody else could use, that you would hear somebody else. But with 70 centimeters, you've got to be pretty close to them. If it's not a repeater on a mountain, you've got to be pretty close to them to hear it.
And I've got a pair of handhelds here that I'm trying to get the wife certified to use. We were looking at possibly using them when we're moving the rig around and that sort of thing, or just when we're walking local type stuff. And I just wanted to make sure that this number is right out of the book, and so I should be good to go from what I can tell.
That's affirmative. Yeah, you're doing it the right way, absolutely. That shouldn't be any problem whatsoever. And with 70 centimeters, it doesn't go very far anyway, so you should be fine.
That does me, so KO4OLK, clear. Thank you for the help.
Sure thing. Good to hear you on the air. KO4OLK, W4DJW Mobile.
W4DJW and 4DJC.
Hey Jerry, how's it going? Did you see that satellite, that sleepy satellite that woke up?
It was only 20, max elevation was only 20 above the horizon. I just didn't have a good path in that direction. I heard a couple, but I couldn't get into it. I was trying to get into it with 5 watts, and I just couldn't do it with that. Not at that elevation. I got some passes later on in the week, I think, or next week. It's going to be above 35, and I think I may try on those, but it's working. I mean, I'm following the, you know, I've been following some of the stuff that's sent it back, but what it does, Dave, you send up the DTMF time, it's got your call sign and blue square in it on 145, I believe it's 9. I want to say it's 980. I don't remember where that's what it is now. Anyway, you send it up on that as just regular FM. It has to be sent like at 100 milliseconds. The dial tone has to be set at 100 milliseconds. Because when you got two numbers together, it tends to have a problem with it. And what they said to do is only try to contact it with its mid, when it's at its highest point to you, unless you can track the Doppler on it, because the DTMF times will splatter over everybody else. But I bet a couple of guys have been getting into it. I heard some calls repeated. It'll repeat the calls back then on the APRS frequency, and then in voice mode, and then it will also, if it can, and at some point in time, it'll send it back down, and you'll see it. She'll pop up on some other stuff too, on APRS FI, I think, as well. But it's been pretty busy. But evidently, it collects several call signs, and your call sign will come back to you, and it will show it as a number, QSIN number 30. And if you see another call sign on there, there's not, you know, you want to send a message, so you just hit that 30 in and send it back by DTMF. Anyway, it's a more complicated process than I first thought it was, but I did hear it, but I just couldn't get into it.
Well, it sounds like it'd be to your advantage to have all the DTMF tones pre-programmed in, so that when it does happen, you were saying, when I was talking to you last, you were saying that it doesn't come very far up off of the equator. Does it ever come up so that it's more than 30 degrees above the horizon for us, or is it, it has to come pretty far north in order to get up to 90 degrees up off the horizon. Does it ever come up that far?
I guess it's about 35 or 40. If it's 35, I think the transmitter's only 350 milliwatts, but if it goes to 35 and you hit it at the peak, and you can probably, it's probably going to take, one guy down in Florida has been using 5 watts, but it's passing almost over his house. And he does a lot of satellite work from inside and outside, but he's doing it on 5 watts. But when I saw the demonstration of it, he was running 50 watts, I think, to get into it. And I imagine you have to use at least 25 with some type of beam antenna to get into it. Although, if you're high enough, you could probably do it with a vertical. But it doesn't look like to me it gets much above 35. It's one of those naval observatory satellites they put up several. It didn't work when they put it up in 2018 or 2019. It went to sleep, and it was still sending some slow scan TV stuff that you had to decode. But the VHF VHF it was not working, and all of a sudden it popped back up again on the 29th. But now I think it's going to take probably 25 to 50 watts, probably with a beam antenna. And if you got a good line of sight, you clear no buildings around, you could probably get into it with 30 degrees, but it just didn't come much above 25 very often for us.
W4DJW, well, that kind of supports the argument for, I mean, if it doesn't come that high up off the horizon, then a vertical. Broadside to a vertical might get you, I mean, if you didn't have a Yagi. It might get you into it, like a tall vertical, like a 17-foot vertical, 2-meter antenna. If it's only 35 degrees off of the horizon, then you're not going to be that far off of a perpendicular to the vertical.
That would work fine. You got a pretty good 16 digits code to do everything, I think. And this, you got a pretty program, which I've got them in both in my high power radio and my handheld as well. And it's like I said, they want you. I can track with the 9700. I can track it down to to 100, you know, down to one, or even, you know, yeah, I think I'd go down to one on it. On, I don't know about it. I'd take it back on FM. It'll go down to 10 maybe or less. But I can track it pretty well with Zyper. But I'm going to try it when it's supposed to come back up, like I said, either later this week or maybe next week, come up above about 30 degrees. And if I got a fairly clear path, I'm going to try it another time or two. And on with the beam and use about 25 watts and see if that helps. I would imagine that the vertical, like the one you got, that big one, would work fine, you know, at that pass angle, because, you know, it's, I mean, you just transmit regular FM, you're not transmitting any voice, and as long as it's a good signal, I think it'd be fine.
I created this program, the Microsoft Foundation class. It's a Windows window program that has these entry boxes that you can put in whatever combination of DTMF tones you want for whatever dwell you want. And they call them macros, and you can put in any quantity of digits that you want. And it connects to the Flex radio, which has a 60-watt transmitter for UHF, VHF, and that connects to the 17-foot collinear. So all I have to do is just click a button, and it sends out those combinations of the DTMF tones. I'm going to have to get that out. I'm going to have to go break that thing out. That's what I use also to program the repeater from down here. It worked great for that, too. You can program the repeater with DTMF tones. So I'm going to have to break that thing out and see if I can hit that thing.
Thanks, David. You can team hit. You don't have to hit five increments. You can team down to one pretty easily with it, can't you?
Not anything you want to with it. It's completely software defined. You have the source code, right? The source code is available. Plus, you can interact with it through serial ports. So you can tell it to do anything you want it to do through the serial ports. And I think that's what I was using for the DTMF, but I'm not quite. And I used the COM port to key it. And then I generated the DTMF tones with the Windows box and sent it to a virtual audio cable to the Flex. And the Flex just transmitted it. So all the Flex had to do was just transmit the DTMF that was being generated on the Windows machine. It's that simple. It's not complicated at all. And you can make it any speed you want, you know, down to a few milliseconds of DTMF, a few milliseconds on time, a few milliseconds off time. I mean, it's so fast, humans can't even detect what's going on.
So they were also saying something about maybe using their FM on it, on the transmitter. I haven't tried that yet, but I may do that. I can swap it on and off this radio pretty easily. I may do that, try that. But their FM and the guys that launched it are saying is that it does better if you use 100 milliseconds for the encode speed. Because if it goes fast, some people are saying 50, and I've tried it on 50, but it says awful fast. But the guys are saying that anything much faster than 100 milliseconds on the encode, but it gets confusing when it's got two of the same digits in a row. So that, I don't know whether that makes any difference or not, but it made sense to me. Now, whether or not it actually does or not, but like I said, the guy that's used it the most is sitting on top of his house almost going across the sky, and he's got a fairly powerful station there that he can use, and he's got a pretty big beam. I think he's got the beam set at about 25 on the elevation. It's not I don't think he's got the ASL. I think he just got the azimuth, and then he's got it set at about 20-25, and he's also done it on vertical from a car as well, so 5/8 vertical. So, but again, he's almost. I was looking at the path, he's just almost sitting on top of him.
So, is that like a square wave, 100 milliseconds on, 100 milliseconds off, or is it like 100 milliseconds on, 10 milliseconds off?
Not sure about that. It just says, you know, both my radios just have a speed of the encode. In other words, it takes about, in order for it to, and it's got, of course, I use a code translator to give me the right digits for the DTMF to give me my call sign and grid square on there. And they may have some other stuff, you know, they've got a translator that they use. That's what I use to program mine. Mine's just got the, you know, it's got the, the star, did the digits, and the pound, and it, the 100 milliseconds, I guess, Dave, is the speed it takes to, is the speed it takes to encode that, you know, it's due to 100 milliseconds. I guess that's each digit at 100 milliseconds. I'm not sure. I'm not for sure on that. Neither one of the radios I have, I don't think have the capability to, you know, to break it down like you're talking about. But if you look at the, if you go online when you get a chance to look at the PSAT 2 stuff, that'll tell you. It'll probably tell you a lot more than I can tell you because, like I said, this is all very new to me.
Okay, I'll do that. PSAT 2. That sounds like a lot of fun. But anyway, I'm at home. I've got to back it in and unload the truck or the car. So good talking to you. Appreciate the info, Jerry. In 4DJC, W4DJW.
Have a good one, Dave. I thought you'd like that. I thought I'd throw that out when I heard Joan today. Like I said, it wasn't successful. Maybe I'll get into it some more time, but I got some figuring to do on this to get it right. But you only really need an APRS, you know, radio, because it, it's going to show up on another website anyway. Take a look at that website and see if it doesn't. I'm pretty sure that if I read it correctly, it kind of recommended Nair FM, and if you could tune the frequency down one at a time, it made it helpful to be able to track the Doppler unless it was at the very top of the elevation, I think. Anyway, have a good evening, Dave. Good talking to you. W4DJW, F4DJC, clear.
Appreciate it, Jerry. W4DJW, clear.